Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally Elcordi, and welcome to Public Advocate Radio. Today, my guest will be Donna Delacat, who is an autism mother who attended the meeting in Brooklyn that was called for by Rabbi Handler. I believe it took place in Flatbush, and it was well attended from what I understand, and the speakers were remarkable. So I just wanted everyone to know that. While I wait for her to call in, I just want everyone to know that Dr. Rebecca Carley is in a psych ward in Indiana, and the name of it is, I don't have it in front of me. However, she recently wrote, and we recently celebrated on International Vaccine Injury Awareness Day, June 3rd. We celebrated on the Sunday prior. Her scientific exemption from vaccination. And this is very important. And I know many people cannot get religious exemptions in New York City. Whole states have eliminated them. And even the states that possess them have about an average of 2% utilization of them. So we keep wondering, why are they going after exemptions when so few people are aware of them and utilize them? However, since they are, have backed us into a corner, and they have, I just interviewed a woman who was brought before the panel of inquisitors on religious exemptions in New York City, and she is the inspiration for this scientific exemption from vaccines. She was brought before them four times, and they still rejected her. She was forced to quit her job and homeschool. She felt her child was threatened therefrom by CPS, and she left and went to another state where they were then trying to eliminate exemptions too. And the basic premise is nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. When you have vaccine-injured children, the last thing you can conceive to do is vaccinate them again. So this was a call of desperation, and I answered it by requesting Dr. Rebecca Carley write a scientific exemption to vaccination. Now, this is what I also brought with me to the U.S. Senate when they had a hearing on the measles vaccine. A lot of people don't realize that before Disneyland measles outbreak and before the removal of exemptions, there was a NIH-funded study that said what could happen is that there could be a outbreak of measles at Disneyland, and then it would get the happiest place on earth, then it would get a lot of press, and then we can tell people it's the unvaccinated who are causing it, which in fact is not correct, so everyone realizes that, and then we can eliminate exemptions once we accuse the unvaccinated. So this was a plan before the Disney measles outbreak. This was reported by Jamie Cosenza, and it couldn't be more important considering measles is an excuse to vilify the unvaccinated. And you cannot get a disease you don't possess. You know, you cannot spread a disease you don't have. You cannot spread a disease you don't have unless, of course, there's a vaccine for it, right? So that's the whole dilemma. Therein lies the dilemma. Now, I'm asking people to pray for Dr. Rebecca Carley, as I have just done. And this is amazing, truly amazing. After I said this prayer for her release from the psych ward, there's absolutely nothing wrong with Dr. Rebecca Carley. She's as clear thinking as the day is long. And she has reversed 5,000 cases of autism. Okay, that makes her unpopular with the medical community. And just recently, she had her friend was diagnosed with kidney cancer. And she said, don't go through chemo. I will help you. And she did. She has the Hippocrates Protocol. And it is, you know, different for every person, but what is Hippocrates? First, do no harm, right? Well, they removed his kidney. Guess what? Cancer free. They might have checked again before they removed it, right? That might have been a good idea, but I if they did and they removed it anyway, that's bizarre. But I presume they checked after they removed it. So there you go, from cancerous to cancer-free, and having just written a scientific exemption to vaccines, she is now in a psychiatric ward. Now, correlation doesn't mean causation. They may have put her there for a completely different reason. We've all heard that correlation doesn't mean causation, haven't we? So I don't have proof, but I just know the timing of it couldn't be more relevant. So Donna, I hope, will call in. And until she calls in, I am going to say the prayer that brought 50 hearts into the sky. 50 hearts appeared in the clouds after I said this prayer. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, and now at the hour of our death. Amen. And then 50 hearts appeared, one after the other, in the sky, in clouds. The clouds appeared in the shape of hearts. I have to tell you, many, many years ago, I learned that a beloved professor of mine, Forrest Wilson, had passed, and I was so sad because I was in town and could have visited him before he died, but nobody let me know. So I just found out on my birthday, and I was so sad. And I felt so bad that no one had let me know. And one heart appeared, one giant heart appeared in a cloud. It was a cutout of a heart shape. And so that's the only time that it happened. And I knew it was from him. I knew my yearning to have said goodbye to him was acknowledged. But this time, 51 clouds, and that's as many as I've counted. Perhaps they're still going, but I just sent a picture of the 51st cloud to Rebecca's sister so that she could see, you know, the angels are with you. Definitely want you to fulfill your mission of a heaven-sent healing center. This is her mission. She is certainly wonderful at what she does, and I'm praying that this mission is fulfilled. There are so many communities that are suffering in a big way from vaccine injury. In fact, every community is suffering in a big way from vaccine injury, but they don't realize their injuries are vaccine related, like this terrible rash of leukemia in the children, and diabetes, and autism. I want to tell you something about autism. They say there are no studies done. Well, there are actually four that are known, and one I've done myself. I've conducted interviews with people who have vaccine-injured children who have gone on not to vaccinate the others, and they're really healthy. However, something that is undeniable is that in 2016, every 4 years, they take a national survey, a phone survey, and it's run by the government of children through certain ages. I don't even believe they include very young ages. It may be from 7 to 12. But regardless, in 1916 was the last survey, and it resulted in 1 in 36 children were autistic. Now, mind you, 98% of our children are vaccinated, so 1 in 36 autistic. Now, I want you to think about Dr. Meyer Eisenstein. Dr. Meyer Eisenstein had 30,000, actually more, but I'm being conservative, 30,000 children in his large practice, and none of them did he vaccinate. He's a pediatrician. And there was zero autism among his 30,000 children that he was the doctor for, he was the pediatrician for. So 1 in 36 versus 0 in 30,000. I don't know what study you're going to come up with that's more glaringly points to the fact that vaccines cause autism. But as I was joking before, correlation does not mean causation. That's what they say. They say that. But that's a nice way of saying, no, vaccines don't cause autism, but they do, okay? So I hope we are putting this to rest with using Mayor Eisenstein's practice as an example. Okay, now I'm waiting for Donna Delicat to call in. And everybody, if you are hearing this, and please send a comment underneath the radio show to Dr. Rebecca Carley. Let her know you're thinking about her and praying for her, and hopefully she can help your family. But we do have to get a center together to help not just children. She also helps animals. So if we could have a facility for the elderly who are suffering severe dementia from the flu shot, if we could help the children who are suffering every disease in internal medicine, which is what vaccines cause as a result of vaccines, and then also the pets. They're saying now that they're vaccinating the pets all the more, that they are autistic too. They have cancer. You know, there's a very famous quote from a cancer doctor in the early 1900s, I believe it was 1902 or 1905, and he was saying that he has 200 cancer patients, and the lone thing they all have in common is they're all vaccinated. Well, I guess that was in a time where vaccines were not, you know, mass inoculation the way they are now. But all 200 of his patients had one thing in common. They were vaccinated. So anyway, I appreciate your listening. While I wait for my caller to get in, I just have to let you know the last show I had, the callers were trying very hard to enter the program, and they would call in and get dropped immediately. I didn't have time to answer, or they weren't getting in at all. So I don't know if this is the case, but I was certainly eager to hear from Donna Delicat, whose little girl is just, I want to talk about heaven sent. She is the most dear child. And she's an adult, actually. She's over 21. And but it really bespeaks of loving care that her mother has given her. But I was praying that her autism could fly away, because she really wants to help. She is outspoken to protect babies, and she can barely say anything. So all I can say is, if this child was autism-free, we would have ourselves a first-class warrior to save children. And everyone that I know is a child survival advocate, because everyone who is vaccine damaged, if they are not dead, as so many of the infants, Dr. Vera Scheibner says conservatively 10% of our infants are dying from vaccination, and I'll put a link underneath so you can read it for yourself. And also, so that's horrid. That is the disgrace of our country. Even worse than autism is the death of our infants. It's unbelievable. But I forgot where I was going with this, because that always takes me back. But anyway, let's see. I was not only reading Vera Scheibner's articles, which say that if you have natural measles, you have prevented, it prevents, not only gives you a lifetime solid immunity to measles, no booster shots, which don't create titers for measles anyway. From what I've heard from the mothers whose kid have gotten multiple boosters. And so also vaccine gate, they're saying there's no measles in the measles vaccine. The whole premise of vaccines is to create antibodies against viruses, then if there's no virus to begin with, and no antigens, then what exactly are we doing other than injecting into children antibiotics, aluminum, formaldehyde, E. coli, antifreeze, mercury, MSG. What, you know, glyphosate is getting in through the pig bones. I think that's kind of interesting, and the Jewish community should know that, that not only is it being found in five vaccines which were tested for it, might be in all of them, but the MMR has five times as much glyphosate, which means that the group that was being targeted in Brooklyn is being targeted with a vaccine in which glyphosate is getting there through pig bones. Of course, the ultimate is fetal tissue. This is unconscionable. Dr. Carley calls it cannibalism. I agree with Dr. Carley. How they could utilize babies, you know, and people are getting different. I have to explain something to you. 13.1. The FDA has published a series of points about vaccines, and what's missing now is 13.1. 13. They didn't say, they didn't correct it. They just removed it, and I have a picture of that. And my friend has a picture from before. It said that, or it's on all the inserts, that vaccines have never been tested for cancer or mutations or how it impacts fertility. And if you don't test for cancer, how can you say it causes cancer if you don't test for mutations? Now, mutations, that involves the DNA. And let me tell you, my sister, when she went from a normal thinking child to severely mentally retarded, also her hair fell out. She was a brunette. When it grew back in, she was blonde. Her DNA changed, okay? It also, we are giving aborted fetal tissues, and they have different makeups in terms of are they a girl or are they a boy? And this is probably affecting people's gender confusion. There seems, I know it's being promoted, gender identity and changing gender identity is being promoted like mad on our media. But in fact, it may be for real, thanks to vaccination. And if you're a boy getting a girl's fetal tissue, or if you're a girl getting a boy's fetal tissue injected into you, and it is mutating and affecting your DNA. So, as I say, I saw it with my mother. I wasn't born yet, but my mother saw it with her own eyes. A brunette, all the hair falls out and grows back blonde. So I've also heard about eye color changing as well. So there are also animal parts. And animal parts from, they use crabs, but inside the vaccines, they have a guinea pig, which has got to be such a glaring irony, cocker spaniel, insects, chicken embryos, what else? I don't know. I can't remember right now, but that's enough to let, oh yes, bovine serum. Well, if you're Indian and cows are sacred and you don't eat cows, I doubt you want that in your vaccine any more than a Jew or a Muslim would want pig bones in and porcine products in their vaccines. So, which are also present. So the whole thing, you know, we had a stand on the steps of City Hall and we unveiled the scientific exemption to vaccination, which if I don't get any callers, I will play for you. And it's very good, not long, but very good. And Dr. Carley quotes her medical texts. You know, she quotes the scientific peer-reviewed papers. And she literally reads off the insert to the vaccine itself, vaccines themselves, and surmises that these are weapons of mass destruction because 98% of the kids in the United States are getting vaccinated. So if Stephanie Seneff is correct and one in two children will be autistic by the age by the year 2032. She's often misquoted as 2025, but she ran the numbers again and she verified on my radio show that it's 2032. Okay, well, you can ask Donna how many people it takes to care for an autistic child. If everyone were to get an 8-hour day, because some autistic children never sleep, this is not the case with her child, but some, I have a friend of mine, used to post, I'm making another pot of coffee, I'm making another pot of coffee. This was a 25-year-old autism mother. I saw her 5 years later, and she looks like she's in her 50s. This woman hasn't had any sleep. So all I can say is if everyone were to get an 8-hour day, each autistic child would require 4 attendants. Okay? If you were to work a reasonable day, one child would require 4 attendants. So even if it's 1 in 5 autistic, that puts an immense, immense strain on society in terms of man hours. I'm not even talking about money or anything like that, just man hours. But if you're 1 in 2 autistic, well, this is the great fear. The great fear is that will this lead to eugenics? When society cannot sustain the children who are injured, who cannot care for themselves, then, in fact, that's when eugenics happens. That's what happens. So they're creating a race, the people of the United States, for sure. We have the highest rate of autism. We have the highest rate of infant mortality in the developed world. And Mississippi, who has the highest rate within the United States, has both the highest rate of infant mortality and autism. Okay? So again, Dr. Mayor Eisenstein pointed that out, and he said, correlation doesn't mean causation, or does it? Well, there you go. Now, I think I'm going to hang up shortly if I don't get a call from Donna, and I regret if I do not. But as I say, the radio show is not always providing what is necessary for people to access it. I also wrote to Rabbi Handler and asked him to call in as well, but this was short notice for him, so I actually don't expect him. If he's on the line and I cannot see that he is, please accept my apologies, Rabbi. Lovely man. He has written a 4-page, when printed out in 14-point type, in 12-point type, it's a 3-page, and I say this to you because you might want to print it out, document, which I distributed on last Sunday for International Vaccine Injury Awareness Day, and we had a record number of people, 20 people. Now, Warsaw is on their backs laughing at us because they had 100,000 last year. I don't know how many they had this year. I know Dr. Andrew Wakefield went and spoke with them, which is absolutely exciting for them. You know, I saw my friend Justina Socha with Dr. Wakefield, and I thought, oh, this must be a great day for her. She works so hard, and so many others do as well. It would be unfair for me to pull one out, but if you want the truth, I can't pronounce everyone's name. In fact, I'm not even sure I pronounced her name well, correctly. However, yeah, they had like 100,000 last year. Somebody took a video from the top of a building, and if they pointed it down and to the right, and as far as your eye could see, literally, as far as the eye could see, there were people on Warsaw Boulevard. And then the person at the top of the building pointed to the left. And again, as far as the eye could see, people marching. So I am guesstimating that is about 100,000 people because the boulevard went on and on and on, further than I could see, both ways. And what a, you know, just the most beautiful sight I've ever seen, that level of activism. But, you know, I started stepping out and speaking out on the steps of City Hall Actually, I started marching around City Hall with my banner that said Billion Toddler March for Survival, Ban Vaccines 2013. And the quote is from Albert Einstein. The quote is, intellectuals solve problems, geniuses prevent them. Ban vaccines. Yep, that's prevention. Vaccination is preventable. But it's not preventable if we cannot hold on to our exemptions. Then it's tyrannical. I mean, truly, we are fighting tyranny. Well, the reason that the Jewish community in Brooklyn gathered is because Mayor de Blasio said, and I am interested to know how this actually did play out. I know one school was charged $13,000, but they were supposed to go door to door offering measles vaccines to the unvaccinated or to the one or to everyone, even people who were vaccinated. And if you declined the shot, you were charged $1,000 per child. Whoa. And the initial call was for prison time also. So I don't know if that was removed before it went to the hearing. I believe it might have been. But the fact of the matter is it's your money or your life. That's it. Is it worth $1,000 for you to have a clear-thinking child? You know, because autism is resulting from the MMR vaccine. If you don't understand that, go to hashtag CDC whistleblower, and you will see a roster of articles that pertain to that. And Dr. Brian Hooker broke this story, and the movie Vaxxed was made therefrom. So I recommend you check that out. But there have been many cover-ups of autism. And starting back in 1972, there were documents that were supposed to be sealed for 117 years. Wow, 117 years saying that the single measles vaccine, which, by the way, neither the single measles nor the MMR have ever contained mercury. A lot of people say it's mercury and that mercury causes brain damage. It does. But autism in particular was being caused by the single measles vaccine that did not contain it, that we know about as far as back as 1972. And you can find the article about this written by Christina England, journalist Unequaled. At tinyurl.com/SSPE1972. And basically it is that the measles vaccine is causing subacute sclerosing panencephalitis, which is a deadly form of autism. And so there's a, you know, memo amongst doctors talking about this, discussing this, and the subsequent documents as well. But it was given to Christina by mistake. You know, it was supposed to have been sealed for 117 years. So we all think it's an act of God that was given to her when she went to do research. And it also includes the issue of 2.5 times the rate of autism in black boys per the CDC study that was thrown in the garbage after it was completed. Now, the FDA was supposed to be doing studies every 2 years on the extremely expanded vaccination schedule. Since they lifted liability, we have gone from 23 or 24 doses of vaccines to over 70. And when I was a child, there were 3 doses. So you realize we have really, it grew and grew and grew, but at one point, it doubled, more than doubled. So 72 is triple the number of doses prior to lifting liability. So now that the drug companies are not liable and the people themselves pay for the injuries that are sustained from vaccines, if they see a dime, I have to tell you, having interviewed 1,000 parents, I only have interviewed 2 who have received remuneration. And let me compare the Monsanto remuneration to vaccine court remuneration, because there is no big payday here. If you are ever told that, that's a lie. Monsanto was just awarded $289 million to a man who got cancer from the glyphosate, which, by the way, is also in vaccines, but it's only cancer-causing, I guess, in Monsanto's Roundup. However, that was facetious. So he received $289 million, an elderly man who had worked as a gardener all of his life and developed cancer, and it was identified as coming from the glyphosate in the Roundup. Okay, now compare that to a five-year-old child who has a muscle-wasting disease developed from the flu shot, who was awarded compensation. She's 5 years old, and she, her mother, who is about the best educated person I know, and so it really takes an extraordinary level of education to work your way to getting any kind of compensation. So $15,000. So $289 million for an elderly man who got cancer from Roundup versus $15,000 for a five-year-old child with a muscle-wasting disease. Do you see the difference? I wonder how long that $15,000 lasted. I don't know that she had a lawyer, but dollars to donuts, it all went to the lawyer if she did. But the thing is with these parents is they want acknowledgement. They want to be acknowledged. Another woman had to stay silent for 9 years, 8 or 9 years, even though her child had died as a result of the Gardasil vaccine. And she was awarded, they have a death benefit. Oh, I believe it's $250,000. I don't know exactly what she was awarded, and I kind of don't care. I'm sure she doesn't either. But she stayed the course because she wanted them to admit it. And so now she is, I believe, the lone person, at least the lone one who is reported as having been acknowledged that her daughter died from the Gardasil vaccine. Having interviewed many parents of children who are vaccine injured, I would have to tell you that the DTaP vaccine is a cruel vaccine, and the MMR has certainly cruel, and the HPV vaccine. Now, if you're the flu shot has more reports on VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, which, by the way, it is the law to report adverse events from vaccination. And I posted this on Twitter along with the adverse reactions. And this is a program that you can buy these stickers, and I hope you do, at vaclib.org. They are promoting this campaign to report a vaccine injury to VAERS, and then they give you a litany of injuries, which are basically all diseases in internal medicine, as Dr. Carley says. But anyway, you can purchase them. I have purchased many, and I posted it to Twitter, and this woman said, that's a lie. I'm the only person who's ever reported it in my hospital. And I said, well, the thing is, it actually is the law, and I gave her several links from VacLib, but it's not enforced. It's not enforced, just like testing of vaccines, you know. The FDA is supposed to give testing to for vaccination as a medicine. People think it's a health program. No, it's actually categorized as a medicine, according to Jamie Cosenza, who is a legal expert, and I quote her often. She is saying that the FDA has abdicated their responsibility to call for testing and given it to the ACIP, who approves vaccines to be added to the schedule. Okay, so that they obviously don't care. If you've ever seen them vote, and I have this video clip pinned to the top of my group, Ban Vaccines 2013. But just so you know, my first legislation was in 2009. All vaccines are banned. And I want to tell you something. At the time, I remember thinking, I can't believe I'm the first one to call for a banning of vaccines. I just can't believe it. And then eventually I read an article, and the article stated that in 1959 or 58 or 59, there was a bill in Congress to ban vaccines. It was actually in Congress. And the pharmaceutical lobby, the pediatrician lobby, the American Association of Pediatricians descended on Congress and killed the bill. But this, so you realize why I say it's either 58 or 59, because in it was directly after the bestseller written by Eleanor Smeal, I believe, called Lethal Injection. I believe that was the name of the book. No. Oh, The Poison Needle. That's it. The Poison Needle was a bestseller in 57. And then 58, 59, you know, they have a session of Congress that overlaps 2 years. That is the session that to ban vaccines. So it was a bestseller. And then the legislation came up, and then the American Society of Pediatricians. So everyone thinks I'm extreme. I couldn't be less extreme. I'm looking at the scenario as it is and saying it's a crime to even offer children poison, let alone injecting them. You know, why would someone offer a child that? Well, there's more than poison in there. There is an element that Nurse Janice Hicks has brought to my attention, which couldn't be more important, and that is potassium chloride is in 8 vaccines. Go to tinyurl.com/vaccine contents, tinyurl.com/vaccine contents, and you will find the CDC's excipients table. And read the contents in each and every vaccine, and you will spot potassium chloride in 8 of them. Well, I got an article, through email from the Children's Health Defense talking about cardiac arrest. Well, potassium chloride is put in lethal injections for death row inmates to kill them by stopping their heart. So Dr. Carley backed up Janice Hicks and said, yes, in surgery, to stop the heart, we used potassium chloride, and then you would have to jumpstart the heart again to get it going. Well, this article stated that children through the age of 18, which is how long the vaccine schedule goes, the one for children, which has got 72 doses on it, you know, it's in a gargantuan schedule of vaccines, that through the age of 18, they were dying of cardiac arrest. Their heart stopped. So they were, you know, thinking about all the different ways in which that pertains. And I gave Bobby Kennedy, when I saw him, this issue, this information about potassium chloride. I haven't seen them I hope you read it, because I haven't seen them update it, because it's so probable that this is the cause. 8 vaccines contain something that stops your heart, and kids are dying of cardiac arrest. Well, everything else that I said to you before were poisonous, right? But this will take you down immediately, you know? So all I can say is we have our hands full. There couldn't be more problems in the world if, you know, but if people will speak out, everything I've told you can be verified, unlike everything that you hear your legislators say. I heard a legislator the other day blatantly lying with nothing to back it up, nor did he offer any sites or links or verification. He's just blurting out anything, obviously, that serves to promote vaccines. And he's allowed to do that. Why is he allowed to do that? Well, the Smith-Mundt Act was written to prevent the government from propagandizing the American people. The Smith-Month Modernization Act, which was slipped into the NDAA in 2012 with nobody realizing it. I'm sure the person who slipped it in realized it, but nobody else's attention was brought to it. And I follow bills closely. Certainly that would have alerted me because it pertains to absolutely all issues. I used to care about all issues. I've reduced it to vaccines because that is the thing that threatens our children the most. And I, like all my friends, are child survival advocates. So I had to concentrate on vaccines. However, the Modernization Act, using these good men's names, again, I mean, how rude to take men who are trying to preserve the sanctity of the truth by saying that the government couldn't lie to people. They are using their names now with the Modernization Act, which says they can. They can propagandize, and they can use every form of media to do so. Well, we wouldn't know they said it if it weren't on the TV or in a printed paper or on social media. If they're allowed to propagandize and use every form of media to do it, that means basically anytime people are paying attention to what they say, they can lie. Okay? And I've seen them do it. And I saw senators wax poetic with nuanced statements, no doubt written by the pharmaceutical companies themselves, which is why the people who are testifying, I don't know that they swore in. Nobody that I know saw them swear in, and perhaps they did, but nobody I know saw it because we were out in the hall while everyone who came from the pharmaceutical companies were given the seats. So anyway, so I hear a couple of senators, and I turned it off. I just couldn't hear anymore, saying these laws. A pro-vaccine, nuanced, you really had to know a lot to lie this proficiently. And yes, I'm saying they're lying. And it's okay for them to lie, see? It's okay. I think possibly right next to repealing the 1986 Act that lifted liability for the manufacturers and doctors from paying the price of hurting children. That certainly, I've signed 14 petitions now to reverse that. However, the Smith-Month Modernization Act, I think it's just as important. I really do, because everyone I know who's still vaccinating their children believes what is being told to them. And as Dr. Langto says, when you ask people, do you trust your politicians? 8% will say yes. If you ask people, do you trust your pediatrician, 80% will say yes. What they don't realize is that their pediatricians are taking their marching orders from the politicians, who, of course, are taking their marching orders from the pharmaceutical companies, who benefit not only in the expense of their product, but in the real payday comes in the fact that there is no liability for the fallout. For the outcome from these vaccines. Well, I have had a wonderful time talking with you today, and I am assuming that my guests were unable to call in, which is a tragedy, and one that is becoming more and more frequent. However, my dear friend Dr. Carley is paying a price, probably, for having written a scientific exemption to vaccination. And I will now play what it is she wrote so that you hear for yourselves.
To embark by reading your letter to the U.S. Senate, which also stands as a scientific exemption to vaccination, Dr. Carley?
Certainly I would. Okay, here it goes. I was qualified as an expert in vaccine-induced diseases on March 10th of 2003 in New York Family Court. The following information from medical sources reveals the truth about vaccination, which actually creates disease. This information was included in my response to the CDC's Public Health Protection Research Guide, dated 2006 through 2015, which I submitted to the CDC on January 15, 2006. As stated in Harrison's Principles of Internal Medicine, which is the book that all medical students study when they're learning about internal medicine in medical school, in the sixth edition on page 943, it says, and I quote, "Rarely is prevention of infection per se considered to be an important goal of vaccination. In fact, asymptomatic infection after vaccine can serve to enhance and prolong the immune response. Many viruses persist in host tissue for months or years without causing overt disease. A flare-up of these latent infections may be induced by trauma, intercurrent disease, decline in antibody titers, or unknown stimuli. Latency is promoted by the presence of antibody or other viral inhibitors that prevent extensive cell-to-cell spread of virus. If antibody is withdrawn, viral multiplication often resumes with concomitant cellular necrosis." That means cell death. In addition, on page 975 of that same textbook, regarding the polio vaccine, it is stated that vaccine, and I quote, "vaccine virus multiplies in the intestinal tract and remains at this site. Live vaccine virus spreads and infects contacts of vaccinated individuals. This polio vaccine, in the presence of epidemic poliomyelitis, may lead to replacement of the wild paralytic strain by the strain in the vaccine. Additionally, the January 1st, 2000 vaccine information statement put out by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, National Immunization Program states, and I quote, that the oral polio vaccine actually causes polio. This vaccination is actually inoculation with disease and does not prevent disease. Also, in the information put out by Merck Sharp and Dohme, which is a subsidiary of Merck and Company, it is stated, and once again I quote, the MMR2 has not been evaluated for carcinogenic or mutagenic potential, and that's the ability to cause mutations, which can actually be passed on if they occur, or potential to impair fertility. In mumps, vaccine virus has been shown to infect the placenta and fetus. Therefore, it is self-evident that the vaccine strain of virus is also capable of inducing adverse fetal effects. Also, it is not known whether measles or mumps vaccine virus is secreted in human breast milk. Then it is stated that safety and effectiveness of measles vaccine in infants below the age of 6 months have not been established, nor has the safety and effectiveness of mumps and rubella vaccine in infants less than 12 months of age been established. Why not? Adverse reactions then listed include, but are not limited to, the following: syncope, which is fainting, headache, dizziness, diarrhea, vomiting, pancreatitis, keratitis, which is inflammation of the salivary glands in your cheeks. You end up looking like a chipmunk. Diabetes mellitus, thrombocytopenia, which is decreased platelets. Anaphylactic reaction, which is where you have such a severe allergic reaction that it can actually lead to death. Bronchial spasm, arthritis, encephalitis, which is infection of the brain and spinal cord. Subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. Steven Johnson syndrome, which is where your skin sloughs off. Deafness, retinitis, and optic neuritis, which can lead to blindness. Epididymitis and orchitis, which can lead to infertility in men. Death was not reported in Finland between 1982 to 1993, which, of course, does not mean death did not happen. Lastly, on HLN, the headline news network, in January of 91, TV journalist Cheryl Atkinson reported that CDC employee Dr. Zimmerman admitted that vaccines do cause autism. Reportedly, Zimmerman was fired from the CDC after this public disclosure. Dr. Carley knew that autism is actually subacute sclerosing panencephalitis caused by the MMR vaccine. After reading the symptoms of subacute sclerosing panencephalitis in Harrison's while I was in medical school. Evidently, the name was changed to protect the terrorists using weapons of mass destruction on humanity. Over and out.
Well, you just heard it, and I have sent this to a multitude of other respected doctors, and for them to pay attention to. I said, I will now say to them, will you kindly write your own scientific exemption? Because there is so much wrong with vaccines that probably they will not duplicate anything that Dr. Rebecca Carley has said. And this is what I said to, we'll make a book of scientific exemptions. And all I can say is if they want our religious exemptions, I don't even know why religious exemptions are pertinent. As I say, the crime starts with offering children poison, and the lie ends here. So this is why we need to outlaw vaccines. However, and you can find me on Twitter at Outlaw Vaccines. I was on Twitter and Facebook at Vaccine Free NYC because I'm running for mayor of the city of New York to protect the children. I will not be interested in this post whatsoever if there are no children left. You know, the whole idea is to protect them and stop increasing this rate of autism and infant mortality. So this is a very dire situation. If you think it's any less than that, you're not paying attention. So, yeah. So find me on Twitter at Outlaw Vaccines. Find me on Facebook at Vaccine Free NYC. I've been locked out of my personal page for the 20th time. I hold the record. And at this point, it's a point of pride, you know. People who really try to make a difference are targeted. And I am very sad to say this is probably what has happened to my beloved friend, my darling friend, Dr. Rebecca Carley, and what she can do and is unable now to do because she is sequestered and hopefully not for long, truly say a prayer for her release, is miraculous. And I want you to listen to her video also. This has got an unbelievable number of views, as only the truth does. It's at tinyurl.com/gooddoctors, and that's a myriad of interviews with doctors who are talking plainly about vaccines. And another one, if you want to concentrate on four doctors who, you know, have been my long-term favorites. Many have come forward since, let me tell you. So this is a limited list. It is Grand Dames of Vaccine Truth, tinyurl.com/Grand Dames of Vaccine Truth, which includes Dr. Vera Scheibner, Dr. Guy Langto, who is now referred to as Madame Guy, and Dr. Carley, of course, Rebecca Carley, and Dr. Nancy Banks, who certainly lays it out. I love that 15-minute video and had it pinned to the top of one of my groups for a long time. Anyway, you'll hear terrific lectures. There are four in a row, 1, 2, 3, 4, okay? All right. Well, I'm going to bid you adieu right now, and I am just celebrating that my friend's sister, Rebecca's sister, is with her, and she is such a comfort to her, and she said she's doing fine, so hopefully that will continue. And 51 hearts at last count did I see in the clouds after saying a prayer for Dr. Carly. So everybody get on it, okay, shall we? All right. This is Sally Alcorti. You're listening to Public Advocate Radio. And, you know, that's it for now. I can't think of anything else to say. I'm sorry that my guest, Donna Delicat, was unable to get into the program. My love to her darling daughter, Christina Delicat. And also, Rabbi Handler, if he received this message and tried to participate and was unable to, please again accept my apologies. Okay, goodbye for now. Cheerio.